Skin suiting just sounds like something really bad.
It sounds sexy.
Yeah. No, it sounds like I'm going to wear your skin like a mask and do my little kooky dance.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome to the Trisexuals podcast. If you're hearing our voices, again, you have escaped the clutches of Pokemon Go. It seems like all of a sudden, everyone is back on the go. They're hitting the go really hard.
I mean, the Kool-Aid.
I work downtown for my vanilla job, and I walked outside the building on a lunch break, and I saw a bunch of people standing around on their phones, which I guess isn't so different from normal, but in this case, they're all standing around a particular Starbucks, all very intently looking at their phones and tapping, and apparently they were all doing a raid. There was like 50 people here. It was crazy. They're all like in suits and ties and all this sort of thing.
And you wanted to be one of them, admit it.
A little bit, but I was there with a coworker that doesn't understand all this stuff, that I really need to catch all my Pokemon. And yes, I'm calling him Pokemon just to drive people crazy.
And of course, in my job, in my vanilla day job, I have a, what do you call it? Not battle, but like a...
A Pokestop?
Well, not Pokespot.
A gym.
A gym, yes. A gym literally right across the street from where I work.
You know what's great about this is that people can say, well, after work, I'm going to be hitting the gym, or I'm going to be hitting the gym on lunch. And they might not actually be talking about working out now. They're actually just going to go play around with some Pokemon.
Exactly.
Or Pokemon, and sorry.
Pokemon.
I like saying it Pokemon because it's absolutely the incorrect way to do it, and it irritates a lot of people.
And there's actually going to be a Poke... Like a food stop restaurant coming to...
What?
It's called Poke something.
Oh, that has nothing to do with Pokemon, honey. That has to do with like raw fish from Alaska. What?
But I wonder if they're going to have like a Poke stop at the Poke place.
No, well... Oh, I mean, I guess they could. I guess they could have a Pokemon stop at the Poke place. It'd be kind of interesting. It depends on if there's artwork on it, right? That seems to be how the Pokemon thing. Anyway, I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And this is the Trisexuals podcast. Unfortunately, Kit couldn't join us today, but we will have a lot of fun anyway.
We do. And Max, what's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, well, I absolutely have an answer to this. I didn't because, so little known fact, Pokemon was actually a little bit after my time. Like, by the time that Pokemon came out for, like, all the different game systems and stuff, I was already, you know, kind of out of the age range to play those games. Not that there's any shame if you do, you know, that's all cool. I just was busy and on to other things at that point. So I actually didn't know much about Pokemon at all until Pokemon Go, as I'm sure a lot of people that jumped on the trend of it. And the first time around, 2016 or whatever, the game came out, I was kind of like looking for that favorite Pokemon, mm-hmm. that one that I really wanted to... Well, now I'm thinking other things, but that Pokemon is just really cool. I just wanted like a favorite one. I never really came across one that I liked that much. I did kind of like the... Paras? I can't
Paris.
Pronounce Paris. It's like the little bug one. I think he's kind of cute. But I wasn't 100% sold. But in this version of Pokemon, there is, and there's a whole bunch of them around here too. They have Furrets, which are basically like happy-looking little
Weasels.
Ferrets.
It's so cute.
They are the best. They are absolutely the best. God. And I know that you can't evolve them into anything bigger or whatever, and they're probably really terrible at combat. I don't understand or care about any of that stuff. I make him my walking buddy, and we walk around together and explore the city with him being a cute little little ferret weasel thing.
I love it. It's just so adorable. You know, and you know, all of our listeners, feel free. Ping us on Twitter or anything. Tell us, what is your favorite Pokemon?
Which Pokemon would you most want to have sex with is the answer.
Ooh, yes. That is a good question.
Well, before we get into a little bit more of like what character would you have sex with, let's go ahead and get what's playing out of the way. So, Lily, what have you been playing with?
Like usual, I have a little list of things I've been playing with. So lately, I've actually been, of course, playing with Dami from Lovin's. That's been my go-to wand lately.
It's very powerful for being in a small package. It's easy to recharge. And, of course, it plugs into you know, through Bluetooth to your phone so you can play remotely. But we tend to use it even in the same room where I can just control Lily's toy and she can control my Hush, which goes along with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And with that, the other night, we started playing, doing as kind of a play thing. And I realized, I started out with one toy and I wasn't happy. I couldn't get that itch I was feeling. And, and then I went to a different toy. I went to the Alto from Twin Tail Creations. And that wasn't quite reaching what I wanted. So, I get up in the middle of the play session and Max is going, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
It's like an episode of Goldilocks,
This one's just too, this one's too big. No, this one's just too, and then of course, I finally went to, my go-to, which is the mechanical animal from Frisky Beast. And within just a few minutes, I squirted like crazy. It was great.
Yeah, it was the most liquid I'd ever seen, and that was a lot of fun. Though I didn't get to actually see it until afterwards. We got to work this out so I can actually see you squirt.
Well, I think we found the right position now.
Yeah.
And holy shit, that was a lot of lightning.
Woo! You might hear a little bit of thunder on the track. We're recording this during a storm. And you might also hear a couple little puppinos running around. We're doing a little watching the dog situation here. So it's a good excuse, having to walk them all the time to go catch some Pokemon. So
Max, what have you been playing with?
I've been playing with, a couple things, actually. The Hush Plug has been one of my big go-to things. I've been playing, of course, with the Kadar inflatable toy because something I want to talk about in a little bit. I've been getting back into my back-end practice, and that's been going well. And tonight, I'm hoping I get to play with my Oxballs Pup Tail.
Yeah, which we'll have to do in, an afterglow session. Maybe tomorrow we'll record because there's a couple of things we plan on doing tonight.
We'll see how it works out tonight. It's going to be hard having, dogs around. Yeah. It's always difficult. Sometimes difficult when you have pets of a certain type that want to...
Bark, bark, bark.
Want all the attention. And so when you go in the room, we'll see what the dogs have in store for us. If they let us go into another room separately, then maybe we can play. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of difficult.
It may have to be the next week.
It may have to be after the dogs are gone. So, that's that. One thing I wanted to talk about is my daily practice. So this is going along with the Hush. It's been a great toy for this. And, of course, my Kadar. I've been getting back into working on my pansy pooper. It's been far too long. I actually just really want to dig in and... Dickens doesn't sound like the right term.
You want to scoop... No.
No! Ew! What's wrong with you? No. So I've been making it a point to every night play with my back end, get a toy in, let it sit there for a little bit, try a little bit bigger size if it's the inflatable. And, I'd say it's been really paying off. It used to take me quite a while to even get something like the Hush in. And now, just you give me 5 minutes and I'm good to go. So that's good. I think it can maybe start working up and this will be really good for trying out some of the other toys. I've had toys that we've had for years that I've not been able to try back there. So, that's been really good. I highly recommend practice back there for anyone that has any difficulty or discomfort. Just practice. Go slow. Play with yourself. Put some TV on you don't really have to pay attention to or put something sexy on. And just have a little fun.
Oh, we've been enjoying watching Erica Lust lately.
Oh, yeah. We always enjoy Erica Lust. So one other neat thing that's been going on around trisexuals, we talked about it a little bit on the last episode. We started this new segment called Weak in the Knees. It's pretty much just a thing for fun where we post a little survey on Twitter, which character would you most like to have sex with or, find the most attractive. So right now we're still in the Ghostbusters one. We had started... a few weeks ago with the four main Ghostbusters, and Egon freaking crushed it. And now we're in round two, which I have. So in this one, we have Janine, Dana, and we have Possessed Dana, otherwise known as the Gatekeeper. And as it turned out, it just ended the other day, and it looks like everyone's going for the Possessed Girl.
Well, the Possessed Girls, I can understand because they have more fun, they're a little bit more freaky in the sheets,
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely if you can float above the sheets, I think that that lends itself to all sorts of fun play. But also the growling, kind of hot.
The scratching. As I said, you know, they're a little bit more freaky in the sheets.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just when the head starts spinning, it gets a little bit weird.
I thought you were going to say about, you know, the throwing up the green pea
yeah,
soup.
Yeah, no, yeah. That doesn't do it for me. Some people probably enjoy that, not me.
No.
Interesting one. I mean, it all makes sense. There's nothing that really surprises me when it comes to people being into it. You know, it's possible to develop a fetish over everything. It may be a sexual fetish, it might not be, but, you know, sex is such an important part of our biology. It kind of attaches itself to everything, I think, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, so go ahead and check out our Week in the Knee segment. We're going to be releasing probably by the time this podcast comes out, round 3, which this is the one a lot of you probably been waiting for. The really sexy characters. We have the Terror Dog. We have Stay Puffed. And who else was I going to put in there?
Slimer.
Oh, Slimer. And maybe some other ghosts. I don't know. Something scary. I know the Terror Dog, I think, is pretty...
Zool?
Yeah, we should put Zool on there.
She technically is a ghost.
Yeah,
a demon.
I think you're right. Zool should be on there. So let's expect those four to be on it.
Or if we're doing it from the actual movies, since we already have Terror Dogs in there, we should maybe do...
We don't have Terror Dogs in there
yet. Not Terror Dogs. We've done... well, in this one, we're going to have Terror Dogs, Slimer, and Stay Puft.
Yeah.
Maybe the fourth should be...
Vigo
the Carpathian.
Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone find him sexy? He's got a huge balding spot.
Oh, God. But those what? Muscles.
Really?
Yeah, and that,
oh,
that
geez.
Voice.
I might need to read. Maybe we take Slimer off. I mean, no one's going to really vote for Slimer. That'd be kind of funny.
We could have Zool and Vigo.
All right. Maybe. So today we actually have a very cool guest segment. We have Brianna from Juicebox coming on. Juicebox is a sex coach site and app where you can go and talk to sex coaches live. You know, they'll have chat conversations with you and, you know, talk about various subjects. Well, we'll let Brianna tell you a little bit about it. So let's go to that segment after a quick word from our sponsor. Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you'll receive 20% off your order at bevibrant.com when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's bevibrant.com and use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place.
Good morning, Sexplorers! We are here today with an interview with Brianna from Juicebox. Hi, Brianna!
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And we always start out the interview with one question that we always ask. What is your favorite dessert?
Definitely pecan pie.
Ooh, that's a new one, actually. We haven't heard that one before.
How does pecan pie work? I actually don't know. Do you gelatinize the pecans, or what is the actual substrate of the pie?
Well, I guess since I've actually never homemade one, but since I'm from the South, I think that's why I like it so much. But you actually like top it with the pecans, but the mixture I think is like eggs and sugar and vanilla and butter and that sort of thing.
Okay, just general awesome pie substrate. That makes sense.
That sounds good. Now, do you have like whipped cream on the top, or do you serve it with ice cream, or is it just good on its own?
No, I want the like classic pecan pie with no nothing else.
Now that sounds really good, actually. I love desserts.
So, Brianna, why don't you tell us a little bit about Juicebox and what it's all about?
Yeah, so Juicebox is an app in the App Store, and we pair people one-on-one with sex, dating, and relationship coaches anonymously. So this is a space where people can talk to a professional about anything from improving their sex life or their relationship to maybe just, you know, they are in a great relationship and they want to learn new skills. So we help people with erectile issues, performance anxiety, women that have never had an orgasm before, couples that are arguing a lot or in kind of bored spaces, they're in a routine, they need to change things up. And then also we help people that just want to learn a bit more about something, like, hey, I'm actually in a great sex life, but I want to learn more about squirting or kink or BDSM stuff. And so that's kind of the range of topics that we work on.
So pretty much all the fun stuff.
Yeah, the whole umbrella of like sex, relationships, and dating. I left out that. I mean, actually, a lot of our customers are people that are single and tired of being single and want help right. with dating and the online dating scene.
So with dating, do you have people that are coming in from like the swinger lifestyle or polyamory, or is it kind of just more vanilla?
Both. I mean, some of our coaches specialize in open relationships and polyamory. So when a client comes in on those topics, then we make sure we pair them with those coaches. But I would say slightly more, it's just vanilla dating.
Interesting.
But if a poly person comes along, you'll be able to find a coach that can operate with somebody that's in a poly relationship.
Right. Because the way it works is, so you just type in the word Juicebox, one word, in the App Store, download it. It's completely free to download. And then we go through a few simple questions about where you are at with your sex life, like your satisfaction level with your relationship and such. And then you answer a few questions about why you came to Juicebox. Like, what are you looking to chat with us about first? And you set some goals. And so based on that, you're paired with someone named Caitlin, who is our matching expert. And she will read your responses and hand select a coach that's best for you. All of our coaches are generalists, meaning that they can discuss the basic stuff. But if you have a special need, like you want to learn about kink or you want to learn about polyamory, then we will select the coach that's right for you. And then with the coach, you can text back and forth in the app as much as you want. Like, you can message them 100 times in a day if you want. And the coach will always reply within 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Wow. So you mentioned the first part is going through kind of, well, I guess the matchmaker kind of, Caitlin, right, who's looking for them to match him up with a coach. How long does that first process take? Is Caitlin working like around the clock trying to hook these people up to the right coach?
Yeah, I mean, you might have a slight, so you can go through the onboarding as fast as you want to do it and then write your messages as fast as you. And then Caitlin right. usually will get back to you within a couple hours.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Go Caitlin.
So I'm just curious because, you know, this is obviously people talking about relationships and sex and all sort of stuff. It can be kind of a sensitive topic. What is your guys' privacy policy?
So we keep everything encrypted. And then also you can choose to be completely anonymous. So you can say your name, your preferred name is whatever you want it to be. It can be an initial, it can be a number, it can be a nickname. And then you and the coach just go by that. There's no linking it with an image. There's no linking it with a Facebook account or anything like that. Now, when we do the payment information, we do accept a credit card, but that is never at all shared with your coach. It's also stored in a separate database than the rest of the user information.
Excellent. So it sounds like the coaches just deal with this person that's an entity, right? So it could be anyone.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, some of our clients do choose to tell them who they really are, and that's completely up to them.
Right, right. Absolutely. So what made you want to start Juicebox?
Well, I grew up in Tennessee, and there, I'm sure, as you know, is more conservative. So we didn't receive sex education in a comprehensive way at all. I was just told abstinence only, wait until marriage. Yeah. And that was my context growing up. So then when I was in college, I also didn't receive any programming from my university. I stayed at the University of Tennessee. And so I started a local organization to provide sex ed to college students in the state of Tennessee. And it was met with quite a lot of backlash. It was seen as really controversial. And so the state got involved. They defunded the organization and they passed a resolution legally condemning the organization and myself. And I was on the Bill O'Reilly show and it just kind of like blew up.
Oh, God.
And so
God.
I realized that was my first experience in the field. And so I realized this topic's really scary for a lot of people and how hard it is working in this field and getting access to people. And so from that, I learned that I didn't want to work on the public policy side because I realized it would be decades long battle to try to get these kinds of resources into the public school system nationwide. And I, you know, was always drawn to public health and medical school, but I really wanted to help the masses, not like one patient at a time or one county at a time. Right. So I was drawn to technology. And I went to San Francisco for grad school. And so I was very immersed in the technology scene and I learned a lot. And so that's why I started Juicebox. I wanted to be accessible. That's a huge part of it, being on your phone, in your pocket at all times, and affordable, because these coaches usually charge, $200 an hour. And so we can provide it for only $24 per week. And that's access 7 days a week.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about, you know, using the technology, making an app or something like that, unlike, you know, a regular coaching session, which, you know, might require, you know, one-on-one interaction, trying to find a schedule that matches between two people or sometimes even a physical location, all that stuff. You can make the cost lower because you can connect them through technology.
Exactly. And it's really good because let's say they went through something and they're like, oh my God, I have this question. I can't wait until a week from now when I see my coach.
Yeah, that too. Lily runs into that with her therapy.
My therapist, like something will happen during the week and I'll have to remember to write it down so I can talk about it instead of being just like, it'll pick up my phone and just text.
Yeah, completely correct. I mean, especially if you just had bad sex or you just had a bad date or you just got an argument with your husband, you want to, you know, talk about it right then.
Yeah. By the time, you know, if it's a week later or something like that, or sometimes longer, you might have forgotten all the details of it or even what emotions you were feeling at the time.
And the other piece of it is that a lot of people are actually just uncomfortable talking about these things face to face. So they can feel kind of protected behind their phone screen.
Absolutely.
Because we're told from a very young age, you know, don't talk about these topics. Sex is scary. Sex is dangerous. And then we're not allowed to talk about it at work or school or their family. And then we're adults and we're expected to be amazing at this stuff, at relationships and sex. And then we're not, and we feel shame around that. And so
somehow we're just supposed to know it.
And then of course, you know, we have the society tells us, oh, you're going to find the one love of your life and that'll be it.
Right. And it's easy. Presumably
they'll take care of all your sexual needs and all that. And it's just not how it works out. It's amazing to me because I talk about this a lot on the podcast, but you know, sex is the one thing that has been involved in all of our lives, right? Like it's the thing that brought us each into existence. And yet it's this thing that if you just look at our society from like, you know, an outside lens, it looks like we don't talk about sex at all. This thing that affects all of our lives, you know, it's like, no, don't talk about it. Nobody does it. Nobody's having sex, you know, but everyone is having sex. But
or we
just
wouldn't be here.
Like, and we just can't talk about it, you know, and all this stuff is going on behind closed doors. I'm kind of curious, Brianna, what started you down the sex positive path? Because, you know, you said you came up, you were brought up in Tennessee, and I'm just curious if there was some sort of thing that like triggered that or something that happened to you that kind of like opened up your eyes to this, sex positive world.
Well, I identify as queer. And so I think when you have a queer identity or any identity that's not, you know, the standard heteronormative white cisgender male, I think you start to question things in a different way because everything that is spoon fed to you, you know, it might not quite work for you. So I think when I was in university, I started to just question things, and I saw friends that were extremely smart women that didn't know simple things like where to find birth control. And so I just saw these little problems. I didn't understand why the university wasn't responding to it. And so I just decided to get involved.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, having that perspective, it just seems like all the advice and stuff you're getting in your environment is just poorly suited for what you're feeling on the inside, right?
Right.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm so proud of you for continuing this work, even after being on Bill O'Reilly, because I'm sure he chewed you up.
Yeah, I mean, I expected that. But it was just more important for us to get the word out on a large stage. And unfortunately, he had at the time a very, very large stage. So,
yeah. A larger stage than he probably should.
Yeah,
no kidding.
But, and that's an interesting point, too, because in a way, with this stuff, it's almost like there is no, I mean, there is such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm. But, I guarantee you that when she went on that show, it reached people that, like it or not, it resonated with that message, even if they can't, understand it at the time of hearing it or something like that. Just getting that information out there is good.
It really is. And that goes back to what we were talking about, how we don't talk about sex, and we should. Sex, we need to talk about it. Open up your mouths, open up your brains, talk about sex.
Right. I mean, that's our core mission, is to get people talking about these intimate topics more openly and honestly. And I think when you listen to a podcast or read a blog about these topics, it's a great first step, but it's still passive. And so in the app, when you can actually write back and forth with the coach, it's more active, and you're actually practicing these skills. And then the coaches are just so incredibly open on these topics and very shame-free. And so then you can see the coach as a role model, because I think when it comes to these topics from a very young age, we have no examples and role models around these topics and how to talk about it.
Now, these coaches, are these people that have licenses in, counseling, or are these people that you've hand chosen? How do you become a coach?
Yeah, so all of the coaches are vetted and certified. Many of them have PhDs in human sexuality. They're licensed counselors and therapists, certified intimacy educators. So they come, the main thing is they have to specialize in sex and relationships, because a lot of counselors and therapists out there don't actually know much about sex. So that's the main thing. And they all have a minimum of 5 years of experience. And so there's online applications, there's phone interviews, there's chat simulations to make sure that this is a good form for them, because it's all writing and text-based. So you have to be good at that. And
that is a different skill, because I've definitely run into people that in person are one way. And when I've talked to them through text or something like that, I'm like, is this even the same person? And
I'm guilty of that.
Everything seems to see. I'm very tuned in to texting, and I can pick up on somebody's emotion through texting usually, but
I can't. I'm horrible at that stuff.
Yeah, so that is a very important skill. That also makes me think of, so last weekend, was it last weekend? The ASECT conference?
2 weekends ago.
Was that 2 weekends ago?
Yeah, it was 2 weekends ago, I think.
Well, past few weeks, Lily and I actually got invited to the Denver ASECT conference here. And I can't remember what that acronym stands for, sexuality educators, da da da. But so we were invited there actually to talk with counselors and therapists about fetish, kink, and BDSM. So we were there from the BDSM side of things, actually DMing things. And I was surprised, to learn how many of them weren't familiar with a lot of this stuff. Now, a lot of them were open-minded to it, so that was really nice to see. But, they never heard of someone tying up their partner before.
Or if they had, they didn't understand, why somebody would be interested.
Yeah.
So that is surprising.
Yeah, it was, but it was a really eye-opening experience, and I really liked seeing all the different. I mean, most of the counselors there were super open-minded and actually wanted to try out a lot of stuff. So this one counselor in particular, a therapist, was running around. He wanted to get tied up, he wanted to get flogged, he wanted to try all the stuff, except for maybe the medical play. That's a little bit much.
Yeah, needles are not for everyone, and we understand that.
Yeah, so I think we have some coaches that specialize in bondage and role play, and we have some coaches that specialize in like sex after birth and motherhood and sex, and then tantra. Yeah. So anyway, we have all these more niche topics, performance anxiety, erectile issues. We have coaches that prefer to work with men on those topics. So we definitely can pair you with that person. And if the client's just completely honest about what they want to discover, there's definitely a coach out there that we can pair them with.
I'm curious, do you know if you have any counselors that cover or specialize in the topic of fantasy sex toys or maybe furry or anything like that, pet play, pony play, those sorts of things?
I'm not sure if we have anyone that would say that they like specialize in furries, but I think the coaches that are specializing in kink and BDSM probably know a lot about that whole umbrella.
Have you noticed when you're trying to get advertising, have you noticed any blockage because you're into the sex positive field?
Yeah, I wish people knew more about this. I think people think that Silicon Valley and companies like Google and Facebook are just the most progressive companies out there.
Try to advertise and you'll find out quite different.
Yeah, they're not. And I think that it's even worse than what I thought it was. I feel like they haven't done the work to be able to separate the people that are pornographic to the people that are bloggers, to the people that are coaches, to the people that are doing public health. They like just put them all in the same category, and it's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, it's a Boolean switch. It's like it's porn or it's not to them, right? And there's so many different levels there, and I've run into this problem a lot, and it frustrates me. Just even trying to advertise for our podcast, we practically can't advertise anywhere, because if we try to go on anything like Twitter or Facebook, they're like, oh well, this is all porn, right? And then we've even tried to advertise on like porn sites, that sort of thing. Well, they're like, you guys aren't porn, you're education. So it's like we have nowhere to go.
Well, I mean, just it's also not only that, it's extremely sexist. So with our ads on Facebook, for instance, we were doing ads on different topics, explaining how coaches could help with different areas. So our erectile issue ads were approved immediately, completely fine, even though they had the word erection in it. But our ads about healthy dating and healthy relationships that had images of women were not approved. I mean, it's extreme. I think people think, it's just because the word sex is in it. I mean, no, it goes so much further than that. And I'm in many, many arguments with them, like on a weekly basis, because they need to change their policies. It's very serious. I mean, on Google, with their display ads, they won't let us use the phrase sexual assault. And I think that is also extremely damaging, because we are trying to connect survivors with that are trying to become intimate again after experienced assault maybe a year or plus ago. And I think that that's a completely fair thing to advertise on. I mean, if you have these policies that you're claiming sexual assault is not family safe, well, then you're just damaging many, many women.
It almost feels like they're trying to be like, oh, well, sexual assault doesn't exist, right? I mean, that may not be what they're thinking, but
that's the message.
That's what it comes off as. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and the fact that we can't, like, even on Twitter, the fact that you can't even advertise, as an education-based thing.
I mean, some people might say, well, what's the big deal? It's just advertising on Google and Facebook and all this stuff. But, you know, something has changed in the past decade here in our culture, or maybe longer than that. Like, if you're not on these platforms and your message basically doesn't exist, you have to be here to be part of the discussion. So when people just don't approve an ad or something like that, it's controlling the conversation around it.
I mean, they have such a monopoly that it's controlling our access to the kinds of information and conversations we're able to have. And I would argue that it's a freedom of speech issue because they have such a monopoly over it. It would be different if they were just like one of the many choices.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's not the case.
Yeah, it absolutely isn't the case. If you don't, if you're not able to get your message out on these mm-hmm. social media platforms, then it's a First Amendment issue.
It really is. I really wish that we could, you know, start, you know, a group to change that, you know,
a coalition. Well, there are a few groups. There's the ASECT for one, but then there's also Woodhull and
But I meant even just like advertising, like something specifically for the advertising. I wish we could be like, look, if you're a sex educator, you should be able to reach.
I mean, the problem is they're private companies, so you can't necessarily tell them what they can and can't do. I mean, you can through legislation ultimately, but that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to argue for, right? Because then somebody will whip out the, you know, protect our children argument and it's all over.
Well, I think, I mean, we definitely, Juicebox is working on it. I'm in San Francisco, so I have more access to these companies, right. I think, and I'm in tech. So I think it's a matter of these sex tech startups forming alliances and then just, you know, not giving up. Just every time there's an issue, reaching out to them and having that discussion. I think people need to understand it's even Trojan. Like Trojan mm-hmm. is not allowed to advertise their condoms to people that are under 18. And then secondly, they're not allowed to advertise their products that are not just like completely standard condoms. For instance, they can't advertise the ribbed condoms because it hints at the topic of pleasure. And Facebook is just said no sexual pleasure. Nothing in any advertising can hint at pleasure.
Oh my God.
It makes me angry. It makes me really angry.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
Oh man.
Just whatever you do, don't experience pleasure while you're having sex, because that would be terrible.
It's awful.
That would be the worst thing ever.
Going back to, you know, BDSM and things, have you ever actually heard of Kink and the Cure by chance?
No, what is that?
So it is a, how would you describe?
So we actually talked to them on a previous episode, and it's kind of this neat idea, and they're working a lot with therapists. So, but they suggest perhaps that in conjunction with, you know, standard therapy, that exploring past trauma through kink and scenes and that sort of thing could be part of the solution.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people personally say that exploring BDSM has helped them cope with some form of trauma in their lives or stayed more present in the moment. I've heard that too. So I think if it works for people, then that's amazing.
So their mission statement is A Kink in the Cure, a play about how kinky sex can heal shame and trauma. And the main person, Tim, who, you know, wrote the book, he actually has served on like boards of the Seattle Center for Sex Positive Culture and the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. So he might be somebody for you guys to reach out to and talk to.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for letting me know.
So we actually got a question from one of our listeners. Question that they ask is, what is the best way to get a new partner interested in a kink with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the answer to this could apply to many different topics. But I think I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the main thing that you have to do is communicate. So I think mm-hmm. the person needs to be completely honest with their partner about their desires and explaining, you know, why they desire that. And then asking the other partner if they would be interested in trying it and trying to figure out what their concerns are and how they feel about it and having that whole conversation before you just pull out the toy or pull out the activity or just like surprise them in bed. And I think that if you have that honest conversation and you're in a great relationship, I'm sure that you and the partner will be able to work something out that will, you know, interest both of you. A worst case scenario is the person says no. And then perhaps you can dig into that and figure out some sort of alternative that would help both of you be happy.
Communication and compromise.
Exactly.
The solution to a lot of problems. Lily and I have gone through similar things like this. I tend to be interested in a lot of things that Lily hasn't been interested in before. One big one was, of course, furry. And I've been furry for over 20 years, something like that.
Yeah, about
and,
that.
And, you know, instead of trying to get her interested in furry, I actually abandoned it entirely after we met because she didn't really show any interest in it. Now, to be fair, she didn't tell me, no, you can't do furry or can't be involved in it. I was just like, oh, this is like something about me that she's not interested in. So I'll just throw it away. That was a mistake. I definitely should have held on to my own personal interests. And we ended up coming back to it later, 8 years later, as it as it turned out. But the only thing that I want to add to this is the language of get a new partner interested in a kink with you. I personally think the goal should not be to try to get someone interested in anything, at least not from that perspective. You present like... especially if you start talking about why you're passionate about this particular kink or idea, once they see your energy and excitement for it, there's a good chance that maybe they'll start to understand that a little bit more, or at least understand that it's something that's important to you that you would like to explore with them. So, you know, most partners would be interested in jumping into that in some way.
Right. It's not a matter of trying to change your partner's thoughts or anything. It's, this is a part of who I am. Are you willing to accept it?
Yeah. Or explore it a little bit with me.
Yeah, I think unfortunately a lot of advice out there, especially for men, is around like how to make or how to get and seduce and kind of that pickup artist style. You definitely will not receive any of that type of on the Juicebox app. And I think another thing I just want to highlight is when people think of counselors and therapists, usually what people have in their head is, oh, I talk to the therapist and the therapist asks me some questions and then I just keep talking. And I think I want to just draw a difference between therapy and coaching, because what we provide is way more tangible. And we do sometimes dig into the past, but it's more about where you are right now and then what you want to change and where you want to go. And so, for instance, with the question you just asked me, the coach would actually give that person like vocabulary and sentences that they could actually use in the conversation. So it's not just the coach is listening. It's actually them telling you, you know, different options and practicing that. And some of our coaches role play with our clients so that they can practice having those conversations over the app before they go do it in real life. And we actually pair the coaching with resources. So these are guides, exercises, and scripts. And so we have a script on difficult conversations. And so there you are guided through different things you have on your mind and you write them down about what you want to say to your date or your partner. And then at the end, the script automatically reorganizes itself into something that you could use. Like you could actually email it or text it to your partner or just read through it and kind of get all of your ideas straight in your head before you go have that conversation. Yeah, so we definitely pair the coaching with some, you know, technical features. It's not just you're online talking to a person.
It seems like, you know, possibly a good use for anonymized data in a machine learning algorithm, or maybe even some natural language processing stuff here. I've been doing some work on the side in this and like trying to interpret somebody's emotions or feelings from texts that they've had, or, you know, trying to get to the bottom of what the meaning of what someone's actually saying through, you know, machine learning.
Yeah, I think definitely we could expand in that at one day. I think right now the technology needs to catch up a bit.
Yeah, we have all these great ideas. Tech just kind of needs to get on board here.
Yeah, right.
So I did have a question. How did you come up with your name?
Actually, some users came up with it. So in the beginning, the history of Juicebox is that our first app was actually focused on young adults and teenagers, and then we're just providing like very standard sex ed. And we actually discovered that a ton of adults were using the app, and they were asking these more complex, you know, situational questions that that really deserved a back and forth conversation and not just like a Q&A forum. So we went back to the drawing board and completely redesigned the app. And that's what's available in the App Store today that has only been out for a couple of months now for adults. And so when we were doing all of this like redesigning and user research process, we actually would show people wireframes and get feedback. And, you know, I would sometimes ask them, you know, what do you think the app should be called? And on three different occasions, three different people told me it should be called Juicebox. And so I thought that was a great idea. And we use a lot of fruit imagery in the app because fruit can, you know, be very innocent, but it also can lead to sexual innuendos because I want the app very approachable. I don't want it to be called the like sex app or like, you know, something you're embarrassed to have on your phone. And so I think Juicebox is a great way to have that sexual innuendo because box is slang for vagina. It's juicy material. And then also there's like squeeze and squirt and all these other spill, all these other kinds of words that can fit like into that. And so that's kind of where the theme comes from. But also at the same time, it can look like it's just, you know, you really love drinking juice and you order juice on this app on your phone and it's no big deal.
So on the subject of using the fruit as innuendo, I have to really give props to whoever came up with the image tag, hands holding a pile of fresh cherries symbolizing increased sexual pleasure. That gave me a very good chuckle.
Oh, the meta tags.
Yeah. The meta tag on the hand holding the cherries. I saw that. It just made me smile. I'll never look at cherries the same way again. So we have a question about possibly you talking about some of the success stories. Now, obviously, because, you know, a lot of this is anonymous or anything like that. Do you have like the anonymized stuff that you might be able to talk about or not?
Yeah. I mean, I certainly one case comes to mind where we had a guy who was married and he came to us to talk to us about his performance anxiety, and he didn't have a problem getting an erection, but he had a problem maintaining an erection. He wanted to last longer in bed with his wife. And so our coach was definitely able to address that topic with him. But actually what was very interesting was that as the conversation evolved, we were able to find out that actually he had never asked his wife what she enjoyed in bed. And they had really never had that conversation after many, many years of being married. And so I love that because it shows that a client can come into Juicebox for one particular reason, but then usually it can transform and evolve into other topics. And so after a few months of working with him, it was amazing to see that we were able to help him with erection issues, but also cool to see that him and his wife, you know, as a couple, were having a much more happy and pleasurable sex life together.
It's incredible how oftentimes those things could be, you know, linked together. I actually used to have performance issues when we would go swinging, and it turned out not to be a physical problem at all, but just mental. Something totally mental, something that Lily and I could talk through about my anxiety on it. In short, like I didn't know what to expect every time that we went out, and we didn't communicate enough ahead of time what was expected and what we had decided not to do. So all that anxiety was running in the back of my head, and then there you go. So, you know, that's where the power of talking to a coach can be really helpful. Somebody that listens to your stories, finds the things that you may not have noticed from your own experiences, can ask you specific questions and drill in and find all that.
And it's a third party that's not immersed in the situation, because when you're in this situation, there's so
all sorts of biases,
emotions, all this stuff. And sometimes it's hard to take yourself out of that and look at it objectively. So it's really good to be able to connect with someone that can kind of help you see a different way of going about it, or, you know, even just telling you, no, having a kink, you are not crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And you really can't say anything to our coaches that's going to surprise them. I mean, it's really a completely shame-free zone.
Which is really, really important because I know from personal experience, you know, growing up in a Catholic family where you don't talk about sex, you don't talk about anything like that. And, you know, growing up, and it was very hard for me to actually realize that, you know, pleasure is a good thing. You don't have to feel guilty about it.
You know, that makes me wonder, Brianna, is there a situation or way in which a couple can actually work with a coach, like in a way where, you know, if I have the app or something like that and I can tie Lily into that conversation so we can both talk to one?
We have couples that have signed up for Juicebox separately and we can assign them with the same coach, but we don't currently have a feature where everyone can be in the same chat room, like all three parties. Yeah. And we haven't mentioned this yet, but we're actually able to offer your listeners a 5-day free trial of coaching. So again, it's completely free to download the app. And then you're able to access a coach and have that one-on-one coaching for 5 days for completely free. And after that, it's still only $24 per week.
So, Brianna, obviously you're involved in sex positivity and this wonderful world of sex that we find ourselves in. Do you have a favorite sex toy, something that you really like to use?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I have lots of things that I like to use. I think something interesting that I've, you know, been aware of recently is this new vibrator called the Lioness. And it's actually a smart vibrator for women, and it connects back to your smartphone, and it measures your orgasm patterns by measuring pelvic floor contractions. And I think that's really powerful for women who are not taught a lot about their bodies, and they can self-explore and discover what their orgasms look like and have that data, because I think, you know, a lot of women are told not to masturbate from a very young age. And I think as an adult woman, it can be a really powerful tool to see, oh, wow, that's my orgasm and what it looks like and what kind of orgasm I have. Because unfortunately, there's not been very much research done on female sexual pleasure compared to men's. And so I think it's a really cool tool.
Yeah, we actually talked briefly about the Lioness on one of our previous episodes. Yeah, with MetaFetish, who's all about like technology-enabled dildos and stuff. And he got us turned on to the Lovence toys. But one of the cool things that he does, and you might find this pretty interesting, I believe it probably can connect to the Lioness as well. He wrote software that connects the sex toys to video games. So if you're playing and where you would ordinarily get a vibration if you get hit or something like that, instead it would vibrate, you know, a butt plug or an inserted toy in you or something like that. And he talked about how it changes the whole premise of the game, you know, like car games where you're supposed to be driving, coming in first. Instead, suddenly you're trying to crash into everything to get all the vibration. It's just, it's kind of, I'm really excited about where that sort of stuff is heading. We've come up with the idea of sex toy enabled laser tag, right? Everyone's wearing some like vibrating butt plug. When you get hit, you get, you know, disabled for a few minutes because you're getting vibration. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I was just looking at online about how when you were talking about you can see, you know, how you orgasm and everything like that, and I find that really interesting because I'm like, you know what, I want to know like what the difference is in my body, a clitoral orgasm versus a G-spot versus a regular vaginal versus, you know, an anal. I'd love to see like the differences as to what it looks like.
Just explore it, right? Just to see it and learn more about it. And, you know, we've been giving these wonderful gifts of orgasm, right, in different ways of orgasming. I think we owe it to ourselves to try to explore that as much as we can. You know, it's some of the best pleasure you can feel on in your life.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think one of the things they've discovered is that actually many women orgasm in different ways. Like I think they've discovered three very distinct types of orgasms. One's called the avalanche, one's called the volcano. I can't remember the third. I think it's called a wave. And then what they've discovered is that a woman usually can't have all three types. Like a woman is like, oh, I'm an avalanche style orgasmer. And so anyway, their like preliminary internal research has been really interesting to read about.
I, you know, I have to look into this because if I were to guess based on just how they're described, volcano, I was going to say avalanche.
Well, I'm not sure.
We have to look into it, but we've definitely played with female-bodied individuals that have been the
wave.
The ones that like there's no defined like kind of like start and end to it. It just like goes on for a long period of time.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's really interesting.
I'm gonna really have to look this up now. And yeah. Okay. I'm yeah, sorry. My brain just like got into a different thing. Going. Oh my god. I really need to look this up and research this now. So is there anything that you would like, you know, to tell our listeners? Is there anything specifically that you would like to, that we might have missed or anything like that? Well, thank you, Brianna. Thank you, Brianna. This has been a wonderful conversation with you. And for our listeners out there, this has been Brianna Rader with Juicebox. And, you know, find them on iTunes. And if you use our very special code Brianna gave us, the Trisexuals, you can earn 5 free days using their app. And it's after that, it's just $24 a week. And, you know, go ahead, check them out because they're going to handpick a coach that's right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to check it out online, it's juiceboxit.com. And they have a nice blog there with some cool articles and stuff as well.
And thank you again. So now, Sexplorers, we're going to move on to our next portion of our podcast, which is our favorite segment, Define It.
Define this. All right. So this is the section where we attempt to define ridiculous entries from Urban Dictionary. Today, our word is dog in a bath, and that's brought to us again by Darkness. So thank you, Darkness. So dog in a bath.
So Brianna, do you want to take a crack at what you think it is first?
I honestly have no idea. It sounds like something that's messy or something that is like hard to do, because I don't think giving a dog a bath is easy.
That's an interesting
angle. Like I'm trying to read into why it would be called that, and giving a dog a bath is also messy. Maybe it's like something to do with like anal sex, like it's hard to keep the butt plug in, or it's hard to that.
Yeah, because if you've ever given a dog a bath, it is very hard to keep them in. So my guess is going to be doggy style in the shower or in the tub, right? Which, by the way, I've done and it hurts. The porcelain on your knees, that is no fun, no bueno. But anyway, so doggy style in the shower, you have the water running, and then at the end of it, you both shake off like dogs.
Could be. Okay, dog in a bath.
You got anything, Lily?
I would have to say a dog in a bath. I think it would probably be something like, so you have your partner in the bathtub and you're trying to insert a toy, but they're wiggling around too much.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's just getting water everywhere.
It's kind of a combination between Brianna's and I.
Yeah. So let's look it up. Oh, I love this segment. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I think Brianna was right. She's definitely the closest. All right. Yeah. So the act of squeezing one's cock and balls into a recipient's butthole. It is as hard as trying to keep a dog in a bath.
Wow.
Yeah, you were definitely the closest with that. Oh my goodness.
I can't imagine. Yeah, that sounds like a very difficult task.
Yeah. As with a lot of these things on Urban Dictionary, I question, you know, if anyone's actually done half of these. I doubt it. But, you know, there it is. This is our culture that we live in.
Sorry.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Brianna, for coming on our show, and thank you to Juicebox for coming on and telling us about sex coaching. I think that was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and you know, don't forget to go in and try out that free trial.
You know, I originally had signed up with them trying to become a sex coach, but when I showed up with like a whistle and a hat, and I was just cheering like, more sex, they said I didn't quite fit the profile they're looking for to be a sex coach. And then I poured Gatorade all over them. I don't understand what I did wrong. So, Lily, I was thinking about adding potentially new something to the podcast, depending on how this goes. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be kind of a neat idea to start a coffee account.
A coffee account? Are you talking like...
K-O-F-I? I don't know. I think it's coffee, but...
Or is it Ko-Fi?
I don't know. Ko-fi. I keep wanting to say it Ko-fi when I see it, which it sounds like a really snobby way to say coffee.
Ko-fi.
Someone correct me how you're actually supposed to say it. But, you know, I started a coffee account. Now this is where it's kind of like Patreon, but you could do like microtransactions, like $3 transactions. And I was thinking we could try this, see if anyone's interested in it. Will, if you give us a donation on there, if you buy us a coffee, we'll do a shout out on the show to you. You can put stuff in the actual comment that you want us to say, and we'll say it. So you could like wish someone a happy birthday or make me say something goofy.
He has lots and lots and lots of different things he can say in different voices.
Try to do impressions. You know, I thought it might be kind of fun and a fun way to help support the podcast.
Or you could tell us, you know, something fun about you. Like, do you have, you know, what's your favorite sex toy?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything like that. You know, we'll say it. And hopefully it won't end up getting abused. As it is right now, no one signed up for it and it's been out for like over a week. So, you know, I'll understand if nobody signs up for it. So no pressure. But, you know, I think it might be kind of fun.
Do it. I'm planting the seed in your ear right now. Do it.
Speaking of shameless promotion, We had a really awesome photo posted by Subby Shiera, who
sexy.
Yeah, she's very sexy. She posts pictures of her in her fursuit. I think it's called soft suiting when you have like your head on and your body is like exposed. So she does all sorts of sexy like pictures and videos of her playing with toys and having fun and that sort of thing. And she actually has a coffee as well, which we donated to and had her do a message for trisexuals on a little piece of paper. She got like all her sex toys, really sexy picture. Not safe for work though. We'll have that linked in the show notes so you can check it out. And I wanted to thank you, Subby Shiera, for doing that. One thing that got me thinking on though, because, you know, 4th of July just happened this past week, as of our recording here, and Lily came up with the idea to put me in my chameleon fursuit head and put on some firework underwear from MeUndies, which, by the way, love MeUndies. They're really cool.
And unfortunately, I couldn't find your firework socks from them either.
I did have matching socks. We didn't have it. And we took a few little sexy poses with me in my underwear, nothing too risque, and posted that on Twitter and Instagram, I think. And we actually got pretty positive reaction from that from multiple people. I kind of thought the image would be ignored, but I was kind of surprised to see that people actually kind of liked that content. So now we're kind of thinking we might want to
try a little bit more.
Try some sexy pictures.
Well, I don't know if people would even want to see me. I don't know.
Well, people definitely want to see you, Lily.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Well, I definitely want to see pictures of us. So even if it's just for us, I'd love to give it a shot. But yeah, I don't know. Let us know if you think that you'd like to see some content of us, you know, soft suiting, I think, as it's called, or skin suiting. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends about the podcast. Join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram. And if you are so inclined, support us on Ko-fi. Your support makes me feel good and makes me want to release more content and sexy fun things. So thanks for talking with us. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon. And this time, don't sit down. Stick your dick in fire.
Yes, finally.
I'm going to have to go look this up now.
And on that note, we should totally get going before we lose power.
That was a little close. Thank you, guys. Love y'all.